Happy Friday and sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Gabon's northern town of Oyem. That's where defending champion Ivory Coast and the Democratic Republic of Congo battled to a two-all draw Friday at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. This was a thrilling Group C encounter, a rematch of a 2015 Nations Cup semifinal, and maybe the best game of the competition so far. It featured thrilling end-to-end action. The DRC twice took the lead, and twice Ivory Coast came back to get the equalizer. Fulham man Niskins Kibano gave the Leopards of DR Congo an early lead in the 10th minute. Kibano was so happy, he did a couple of flips on the pitch. The reigning Nations Cup champion Elephants rallied, though, in the 26th minute. Stoke City man Wilfred Boney of Ivory Coast converted a header off a corner kick to make it 1-1. 2 minutes later, Junior Kabananga scored on a header of his own to give the DRC a 2-1 lead. Ivory Coast equalized in the 67th minute on a goal by Seri Dié. With the game in extra time and deadlocked at 2-2, it looked as if Solomon Kalou would be the goal-scoring hero for Ivory Coast, but his goal was disallowed for an offsides infraction. Final score from Oyem, Gabon, defending champion Ivory Coast 2, the Democratic Republic of Congo 2. The DRC currently tops the Group C table with 4 points from 2 matches, while Ivory Coast has 2 points from 2 matches. Togo and Morocco will meet later Friday evening in Oyem in a match that kicks off at 1900 GMT UTC. Togo has 1 point from 1 match, while Morocco has no points. In Nations Cup action Thursday, Senegal became the first team to book a place in the quarterfinals, as we hear now from reporter Samson O'Malley.
Senegal became the first nation to qualify for the next round of AFCON 2017 competition after beating Zimbabwe 2-0. Goals from Sadio Mane and Henry Sevient were enough to see Senegal through to the next round of the African Cup of Nations, as they gave another impressive demonstration of their credentials as possible champions. Senegal, knowing that a win would put them through as group winners following the defeat of Algeria at the hands of Tunisia, were in control from start to finish. Tunisia gave themselves hope of making the knockout phase of the African Cup of Nations after upsetting Algeria 2-1 victory and edging their North African rivals close to elimination. Morocco will be hoping to secure the first win of the tournament. The Atlas Lions were defeated 1-0 by the DR Congo in their first group game, which was played on Monday night. The defeat left the 1976 African champions Morocco placed fourth on the Group C log without a single point. They are only a point behind third place Togo with 2 more games left. On the part of Togo, they will be out to stun Morocco and register their first Group C victory when the two sides lock horns on Friday. On Saturday, it will be an all-West African battle when Ghana faces Mali, while Egypt and Uganda will wrap up the second group game. And staying with news from the African Cup of Nations, Ghana defender Baba Rahman has been ruled out of the remainder of the total African Cup of Nations Gabon 2017 after sustaining an injury in the Group D opener against Uganda last Tuesday in Port Gentil. The 22-year-old was stretched off midway into the first half and was replaced by Frank Achepong as the Black Stars managed the lone goal victory over the Cranes. In women football news, Bayana Bayana of South Africa will play an international friendly with 2019 World Cup host France this weekend. The match will pit the two teams together after almost 7 years and will be the ideal way to gauge how Bayana Bayana have come since the African Women Cup of Nations tournament last year. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
And here are a couple more Sunny Side of Sports fun Nations Cup facts. As first-round action continues in Gabon, the late Ivorian striker Laurent Pokou, who died last year at age 69, holds the record for number of goals scored in a single Nations Cup match. During the 1970 Nations Cup finals, which were hosted by Sudan, Pokou put the ball in the net 5 times. Count them, 5 times. As the Elephants of Ivory Coast romped to a 6-1 victory over Ethiopia. With 14 total goals, Laurent Pokou was also the second highest overall scorer in Nations Cup history, behind Cameroonian great Samuel Eto'o, who bagged 18 Nations Cup goals during his great career. And here's another Sunny Side of Sports fun Nations Cup fact. 23 seconds, count it, 23 seconds is all it took Ayman Mansour of Egypt to score the fastest goal in Nations Cup history. Mansour did it on March 28, 1994, during a first-round group match against Gabon in Tunisia. Egypt won the match 4-0. Joining us now from Gabon's capital, Libreville, is Timothy Donungmai of the VOA's French to Africa service. Good evening from Washington, Tim.
Good evening, Sonny.
How are things in Libreville?
Quiet here in Libreville since the action today is in OEM.
Tim, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Lions of Teranga from Senegal. They're the first team through to the quarterfinals at this African Nations Cup. Have you been impressed with the Senegalese?
Yes, Sonny, I have been impressed with this Lions team. It looks like they made some adjustments after their victory on Tunisia 2-0 in the first round. Yesterday, they were excellent in their game. And logically, they beat Zimbabwe 2-0 to get a total of 6 points and qualify for the quarterfinals. They are the first team, as you said, to qualify for the quarterfinals of this AFCON 2017.
Let me give a shout out for one member of the Senegalese, in particular, Tim, Sadio Mane. He has scored 2 goals at this tournament, and that puts him at the top of the scoring charts, along with a couple of other big African stars, Riyad Mahrez, who was voted the 2016 African Footballer of the Year from Algeria, and the other, a local favorite, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang from Gabon. Let's touch on Gabon, Tim. I know you're going to be at their match on Sunday against Cameroon in Libreville. How important do you think it is for Gabon to advance in the tournament?
Sonny, this match is very important for Gabon. It's a local derby, a Central African derby between Cameroon and Gabon. And also many fans of the Indomitable Lions travel by road by plane from neighboring Cameroon to come to Gabon. So the stadium is going to be packed on Sunday for that match. And the match is crucial for Gabon because Gabon drew with Guinea-Bissau and then drew with Burkina Faso. So right now Gabon has 2 points. In Cameroon 4, Burkina Faso 2. So Gabon has to really win the match against Cameroon because Burkina Faso is playing Guinea-Bissau, and many people think that it's likely the Burkina Stallions are going to beat Guinea-Bissau and get 3 points. So they are more likely to qualify than Gabon. So Gabon has absolutely to beat Cameroon in that match. But that's a tall order because Cameroon is one of the strongest teams here and one of the contenders here. So this is going to be a very interesting match.
Earlier when we chatted, Tim, you told our VOA listeners that the stadium in Libreville was packed for Gabon's opening match. Do you expect a similar crowd on Sunday?
I expect a bigger crowd, Sonny, on Sunday because, you know, there's always this rivalry between Cameroon and Gabon, two neighboring countries. So I expect, in fact, a bigger crowd on Sunday, and the Gabonese are going to come out in numbers to try to help their team win that match because it's crucial for their remaining in the tournament here.
As we talk, Tim, we're almost 7 full days into the competition. Are there any highlights on a personal level that really stand out for you?
As highlights, I would say that the organization is really very nice. There are many, many volunteers who are helping us around, and people are really nice. And I think that's the highlight of this AFCON. On a personal level, as I promised last time, I flew to Port-Gentil for the D group matches, the first round, and then I traveled back to Libreville by boat. It's a 3.5-hour ride. So it was a quiet ride. I expected something more hectic, but the sea was calm, so it was a smooth ride all the way to Libreville. So that was a nice experience for me on a personal level.
Yeah, you don't often get to travel by boat for these type of tournaments, do you?
No, I don't. This is the first time I'm traveling by boat. I rode a couple of canoes to cross the river between Cameroon and Chad, but this is really the first time I'm traveling by boat on sea. So it was a terrific experience for me.
Tim, you mentioned Port-Gentil, and that's where two more matches will be played on Saturday. Ghana will go against Mali and also Egypt against Uganda. How do you see those two matches, Tim?
Ghana, Mali, that's a West African derby. It's going to be a tough match. Ghana won against the Ugandan Cranes, so Ghana has 3 points. Mali drew with Egypt, has 1 point. And so both teams will try to make the best out of this match because it's crucial to their fortunes in this AFCON. Ghana, Egypt, Uganda, the Egyptians have 1 point, as I said, so they're going to beat the Cranes. The Cranes have not had a terrific game in this AFCON, but they can rely on their goaltender, Dennis Onyango, who's the African-based player of the year. He's been very helpful in their first match, so they're going to count a lot on him. And so these are two matches that will be exciting to watch.
Thanks, Tim. That's Timothy Donagmai of the VOA's French to Africa service. And Tim was speaking with us from Libreville, Gabon.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone Subscribe to VOA News Feeds, voanews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page on this Friday, you'll see another nice photo from Sunday Alamba. Sunday is an Associated Press photographer, and he's got a wonderful shot of celebrating Senegalese fans. As we heard from earlier, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal are through to the Nations Cup quarterfinals. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
Happy Friday, Sunny.
Doug, just a short while ago, just a couple blocks from our Voice of America headquarters, Donald Trump took the oath of office as the 45th President of the United States. What can you tell our Voice of America listeners about President Trump, the sports fan?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm just, first, if I can say, inaugural day in Washington is something like a contact sport itself, I think, at times, with all the crowds. So outgoing, President Obama was famously very fond of sports. He did brackets for the NCAA, March Madness. He followed hockey very closely. He followed football very closely and baseball. So what do we know about Mr. Trump? Well, he is, first and foremost, a golfer. In fact, this month, Golf Magazine put him on its cover, calling him the golfer-in-chief. He,
okay.
He apparently, I have been told, I don't know for a fact, but I'm told he's actually a pretty good golfer. He's a pretty good handicap. And but of course, he also owns many, many golf courses around the world. But he has enjoyed other sports. We know that he's gone to Mets games in New York and Yankees games. Back in the early 90s, he expressed some interest actually in buying the Buffalo Bills, the NFL franchise
okay.
up in Buffalo. Nothing came of that, but he was an owner of a professional sports team for a while. Way back in 1984, Mr. Trump purchased the New Jersey Generals. You remember who those people? I certainly didn't. They were part of the failed USFL football leagues. But he was a sports owner. So one can imagine that a man of his broad tastes, he also enjoys sporting events, too.
Would you describe the new president as primarily a New York sports fan?
Oh, I think so. He is friends with Tom Brady, who is famously the quarterback for the New England Patriots, and a few other sports figures around the country. What we've seen, he pretty much only attends New York games, and that's when he attends, which is pretty spotty.
President Trump has been criticized for perhaps overusing his Twitter account. Do you think he'll tweet about sporting events?
I think there's probably no limit to what Mr. Trump might tweet about. And that's not a political statement. I mean, he's demonstrated in the past that he will tweet about, you know, very serious, heavy international political matters such as North Korea and their nuclear threat that they may present, all the way down to, of course, failed contestants for beauty pageants and Rosie O'Donnell and all these kind of things. So we'll just have to wait and see.
The presidential inauguration dominating the political scene on this Friday. But what about this coming weekend, Doug? What else is trending in the sports world?
So in the United States, at this point, while there are several sporting leagues that are continuing, the NHL is midseason and such, it's really all about American football. So this Sunday, we're going to see two football games. These are the conference championships, for the NFL. So on Sunday first, we're going to see the AFC Conference Championship. That's between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots. And then the NFC Championship, that's with the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. Let me just speak briefly about both of those, starting with the Packers Falcons. Now, the Falcons' Matt Ryan has been having a whale of a season.
Mm.
He was just named this week as Pro Football Writers Association NFL MVP and also the Offensive Player of the Year. So, you know, he, I think, is playing. He's been to Super Bowls before. He's never won a ring. But he is clearly playing with, if you will, the L word hanging over his head, which is legacy. Now, on the other side of that equation is the Packers, Aaron Rodgers. The Packers really had an awful start, I think, to their season earlier this year. Aaron Rodgers dug down deep. He has been terrific in the home stretch. He is lethal with the last-minute Hail Mary passes. He's just extraordinary with those. And Rodgers is already a franchise superstar in the NFL. So I think he's really looking at, I mean, he's already won a Super Bowl as well. So those are the sort of dynamics there. On the other side, very quickly, the Steelers versus the Patriots. The Patriots, perhaps one of the most disliked teams in the NFL, certainly a big fan base up in New England. And it's in part because they just win so much. Quarterback Tom Brady and the owner Bill Belichick have built a machine up there, and there's many people who deserve credit for it, but certainly those two have just dominated professional football for more than 10 years. It's been extraordinary. Some people would like to see the Steelers give a good run. The Steelers, of course, have throughout the years taken many runs at the Super Bowl. This year, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, he has had his ups, he has had his downs. We don't know where he's going to be. There are rumor injuries, so we'll wait and see on that. But as the sports finally, as the odds makers go, and we know how well they did during the presidential election. So 538 has these predictions at this point. Chances of winning Super Bowl 51. New England, 43%. Atlanta, 25%. Green Bay, 16%. Pittsburgh, 15%. Well, we'll see how wrong they can be, but certainly half those questions are going to be answered this weekend.
Finally, Doug, the two winners advance to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
How about a reminder for our VOA listeners? When is the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl is Sunday, February 5th. It's in the evening East Coast time in the United States, but it is one of those events that is broadcast live around the world. So for those interested in listening on radio, watching on TV online, start looking now, because chances are wherever you are, there will be a way, if you're interested, to take a look at this game.
The VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug, and have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, Sonny. You too.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tamirat Tola of Ethiopia, who broke the Dubai Marathon course record on Friday, clocking 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 11 seconds. And Ethiopian countrywoman Worknesh Degefa, she won the women's race in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 36 seconds. Great day for Ethiopia in Dubai. And that wraps up the January 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaite. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a great weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Today, in a ceremony as old as the Republic, President Donald Trump will begin his first term by taking the oath of office. For more than 200 years, this pledge has sealed the transfer of power and the wishes of Americans as expressed every 4 years at the ballot box. It is a hallmark of our democratic system. In taking this oath, the president affirms his loyalty to the U.S. Constitution. Whatever his personal feelings, party loyalty, or religious convictions, he or she is bound to follow the provisions of these fundamental laws. Should a president fail in this duty, he or she, like other government officials, can be impeached and removed from office. From the beginning, the United States has been, in the words of John Adams, the second U.S. president, a government of laws and not of men. By subordinating political power to the rule of law, Americans have ensured the protection of their rights and the survival of their freedom. As President George Washington said at his first inauguration, "The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered perhaps as deeply and finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people." Inauguration Day is more than the swearing in of an elected leader. It is a process and a spirit. It is democracy in action.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for an awesome hour of African music, music news, and culture. Democracy and Music. This week, I bring 10 of your favorite African artists to the mic to give, and in some cases, to sing you their views on the topic.
Oh, yes.
Don't miss it this Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC, right here on Music Time in Africa.
And I will feel all right.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa. Reaction to the inauguration of Donald Trump, the 45th President of the United States. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.